Welcome to Unk Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Unk Live On Air is a podcast from Unk Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Unk Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Tishiana Leal, MD, an associate professor in the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology, and the director of the Thoracic Medical Oncology Program in the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology at Emory University School of Medicine. Dr. Leal joined us to talk about Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Leal discussed the symptoms commonly associated with this rare condition, including proximal muscle weakness that often contributes to difficulties walking and managing stairs. She also talked about the prevalence of LEMS in concurrence with underlying cancers such as small cell lung cancer, and emphasized how the use of amifampridine, the first FDA-approved treatment for LEMS, is tolerable and can help manage this disease by improving motor and autonomic symptoms. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Leal, for taking the time to speak with us today on an episode of Onc Live On Air on Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome, or LEMS. So just to start off, could you talk about the prevalence of LEMS and what are some of the signs and symptoms that are associated with it?
Sure. Thank you today for having me talking about this important topic on this rare disease. Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome, or LEMS, is actually quite uncommon. And it's an uncommon disorder of the neuromuscular junction transmission, and the true incidence is unknown. However, you know, there are reports that the prevalence is estimated to be 3 per million individuals worldwide. The mechanism of LEMS is autoimmunity, and there is development of antibodies that are directed against the voltage-gated calcium channel. And so these antibodies interfere with the normal calcium flux that's required for the release of acetylcholine. And so what you see is reduced acetylcholine release from these presynaptic nerve terminals. And as a result of that, one of the primary manifestations of LEMS is muscle weakness. Typically, patients will report alterations in their gait, trouble walking, trouble getting up from a chair, managing stairs, so they have proximal muscle weakness. And that is something that should be a red flag for this potential rare diagnosis. Another important sign or symptom of it is the recovery of the lost deep tendon reflexes or improvement of muscle strength with exercise. This is a unique aspect of LEMS. Other signs and symptoms that patients can report include dry mouth or other signs of autonomic dysfunction and cranial nerve involvement. Ptosis can also be a sign, not as pronounced as with myasthenia gravis, but certainly can also raise the red flag for, you know, suspecting LEMS, including other signs that can occur, diplopia, dysphagia. And in late stages, there can be respiratory failure with diaphragmatic involvement.
What are some of the co-occurring cancers associated with LEMS? And can LEMS present before and after a cancer diagnosis?
When patients present with signs and symptoms of LEMS, one of the first priorities should be evaluating for an underlying malignancy. About half of the LEM cases are associated with malignancy. The most common one that we see is small cell lung cancer. There can be other malignancies associated with LEMS, including Hodgkin's lymphoma. So LEMS can occur before or after a diagnosis of malignancy. For a patient with small cell lung cancer specifically, it could be an early marker of disease.
What are some of the key tests that are used to diagnose LEMS?
Importantly, the diagnosis of LEMS is a clinical diagnosis. So if patients present with symptoms of proximal muscle weakness, dry mouth, hyperreflexia, and any combination of muscle weakness with like dysphagia or ptosis, this should strongly point to the clinical diagnosis of LEMS. And then further workup is certainly warranted, especially workup of a potential underlying malignancy, as we talked about, like small cell lung cancer. But there are some key tests that can be useful in diagnosing LEMS. And certainly, as a medical oncologist, collaborating with neurology is key. So having a multidisciplinary evaluation of patients when you are suspecting LEMS is very important. So patients should have electrodiagnostic studies, including repetitive nerve stimulation and EMGs as well. Another important test to do are the antibody tests. So you can do the PQ type voltage gated calcium channel antibody testing. So the abbreviation for that is the VGCC. And these antibodies can be seen in about 85 to 95% of patients with LEMS, although sometimes they can be negative. So if there's still, significant clinical suspicion, you should continue to evaluate the patient with neurology to really hone in on the clinical diagnosis of LEMS in the appropriate clinical context.
Specifically, can you talk about the NCCN guidelines that recommend doing a VGCC screening of patients who have weakness in lower extremities?
So for patients with muscle weakness, that syndromes are suspected, specifically if there is a concern for paraneoplastic neurologic syndrome, the NCC guidelines recommends obtaining a comprehensive paraneoplastic antibody panel. And so there are several outlined in the NCCN guidelines, including anti-voltage gated calcium channel antibody to look for the Lambert syndrome.
What symptoms can indicate LEMS?
LEMS is a clinical diagnosis, and the primary clinical manifestation is of muscle weakness. And so typically patients will complain of changes in their gait, specifically trouble getting up from a chair or managing stairs that are related to proximal leg weakness. Less likely, they'll have proximal weakness of their upper extremities as well, and these symptoms are usually modest, but does involve that proximal muscle function weakness that can also occur. A lot of patients can describe aching or stiff muscles, and cramping is also common, especially after protracted exercise. Another unique aspect of LEMS is the recovery of the lost deep tendon reflexes or improvement in muscle strength with more vigorous muscle activation or exercise. Other important signs or symptoms can be of autonomic dysfunction where patients describe dry mouth. They can also have blurred vision and constipation. There can be involvement of the cranial nerves with diplopia, dysphagia, and then sort of more late stages of LEMS, there can be respiratory failure with diaphragmatic involvement. Typically, as we stated, this is a clinical diagnosis. So collectively, when you think about patients with proximal muscle weakness, dry mouth, hyperreflexia, and any combination of issues with ptosis and dysphagia should strongly suggest this diagnosis and lead to multidisciplinary evaluation, with neurology being involved in leading the workup for these patients, given how rare this is and the specialized tests that need to be performed for these patients.
What are the consequences of undiagnosed or untreated LEMS?
So importantly, I think given the association with malignancies, diagnosing LEMS can be a marker of having to look for a primary underlying malignancy. So the first priority here in recognizing it is certainly to make sure that there is a workup for a primary underlying malignancy, because approximately half of the cases are associated with malignancy and mainly small cell lung cancer, less often with other types of malignancies like Hodgkin's lymphoma. So other important things about diagnosing LEMS is certainly the impact that it has on somebody's day-to-day life and function if they have muscle weakness that is untreated. We do have treatments for LEMS that can improve muscle weakness and improve muscle function that is now FDA approved.
How can symptoms negatively affect a patient with cancer?
For a patient with cancer who is dealing with cancer-related symptoms, certainly somebody who has cancer as well as LEMS, the first thing is to treat the underlying malignancy, because this may also lead to improvement in the neurologic symptoms related to LEMS. But if patients are having functional impact of the muscle weakness, and this is more severe, then treating the underlying malignancy has some impact, but you certainly have to address the underlying muscle weakness. And now we have treatments for patients with moderate or severe weakness that does interfere with function. And that is initiating an FDA-approved treatment, which is called amifampridine.
What are your thoughts on the use of amifampridine for treatment for LEMS?
So this is now an FDA-approved treatment, and it's the first FDA-approved treatment for LEMS, and is recommended for patients with moderate to severe muscle weakness. And it is one of the best tolerated ones. Over time, there have been issues with CNS effects of these agents, but this one is the best tolerated one due to its limited CNS penetration. And it's been shown to be effective in two clinical studies looking at patients with LEMS, and it's been demonstrated to improve motor and autonomic symptoms related to LEMS. So improving muscle strength is an important endpoint that was demonstrated in these clinical studies, and certainly that is of important clinical significance to our patients with LEMS.
And what should treating physicians know about using this drug simultaneously with cancer treatments?
So overall, using amifampridine, as we talked about, is one of the better tolerated agents for this problem. And you have to think about the side effects of this agent. And overall, the agent is well tolerated and the side effects at the typical therapeutic doses are usually mild. You have to monitor for perioral and extremity paresthesias that are seen in about half of the patients. And certainly for a patient with small cell lung cancer, you know, differentiation of whether this is related to disease versus whether this is a side effect of therapy is very important. But other side effects that we have to monitor for include headaches, nausea, abdominal pain, diarrhea, and elevated liver enzymes. It can be adjusted if patients have hepatic or renal dysfunction. And then certainly there is a contraindication here for patients with a history of seizures.
Is there anything else that you'd like to emphasize to treating physicians about LEMS or treatments?
Yeah, given how this is a rare diagnosis, I think you really have to keep it on your radar. And knowledge of these subtle clinical features, you know, with the muscle weakness presentation in somebody, for example, with small cell lung cancer is key to really differentiate whether, you know, this is part of the course of the functional decline that happens when patients present with small cell lung cancer versus is there an underlying muscle weakness that is different from what you would expect from the decline of cancer overall. So really that knowledge and having that on your radar is really key because you can identify LEMS earlier. And early recognition is important because you can obviously address the cancer, but also now if there's underlying muscle dysfunction that impairs function, you can also address that with the use of an FDA-approved agent. And importantly, this can occur at any point during the course of small cell lung cancer. So it is important to keep that in mind and think about this diagnosis. And if there is a suspicion that you go on and, you know, take the next steps and do the testing along with multidisciplinary evaluation with neurology is certainly key.
Well, thank you so much again for taking the time to speak with us today. We really appreciate it, Dr. Leal.
Thank you very much.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.